One way to think about what goes on in the nation's capital is this. The federal government is a trillion-dollar pie, and every day people from all around the country come to Washington to fight for a slice. Many represent the so-called special interests, the tassel-loafered lobbyists Ross Perot likes to grouse about. But sometimes one man can take on the whole monolithic bureaucracy all by himself. Such a man is Bob Garfield. He offers this parable of political influence.
It all started a few Saturdays ago when in the car, on the spur of the moment, the Garfields decided to have some wholesome family fun. Bowling. Why not? We headed for the local bowling center, but when we arrived, we found this notice taped to the door. No open lanes today, tournament play only. Talk about aggravating. And what made it particularly distasteful to me was knowing that a few miles away sat a perfectly good bowling alley that nobody was using. Not leagues, not the public, and most of all, not us. It was built by no one other than Richard M. Nixon and has been maintained for more than 20 years by taxpayers like me. It just didn't seem right. Hi, this is Bob Garfield. I'm recording this for National Public Radio, and I'm trying to reserve the White House bowling alley for some Saturday coming up soon. Hello? Somehow we got disconnected, so I called right back. This time the operator rang me through to somebody. What I'm trying to do is reserve the White House bowling lane. And for some reason, they switched me here.
Media affairs.
Right, yeah.
Probably because you said you're the National Public Radio.
Yeah, is there an Office of Bowling Affairs that I could call?
Oh, who knows? Let's see here. Gosh, I don't have a clue who would handle that. You know what? Let's do this. Can I ask a favor of you?
Sure.
You called the main number, right?
Yeah.
Don't tell them that you're with National Public Radio.
Uh-huh.
Just tell them that you're a person that you want to use the bowling alley and see if they have some clue, because I don't have a regular good directory here. The switchboard has a whole huge directory, and they'll have a better chance, I think, of figuring out where to send you than I will.
I didn't do that. It wouldn't have been right. But I did call the switchboard, and I told them one more time who I was and what I wanted. Finally, this time, I was switched to... Administrative office. It was here that the odyssey truly began. A telephonic tour of what seemed like the entire executive mansion. It was almost as if there was no policy in place for dealing with routine bowling requests.
Just a minute. Let me give you the number for communication, sir.
Let me give you the number for scheduling.
I'll have to take a message and have someone get back to you.
Facilities okay. Management is 2335.
Okay, the White House bowling. Okay, hold on. Let me see if we have handled it.
I don't know, but let me get you in touch with possibly someone who can. Hold
okay.
on.
Thanks so much. Lesson number one in dealing with the White House, just because they're nice to you doesn't mean they can actually help. The string of phone calls and referrals landed me for the fourth time back in the press office, where a deputy press secretary named Lorraine Voles finally told me the last thing I wanted to hear.
Bob... The deal is that the bowling alley is for the president and his family, and people that bowl there do so at the pleasure of the president.
Lesson number two in dealing with the White House, it pays to be Barbara Streisand. The only way to get into the White House bowling alley, the only way, is to be invited by the president, the first lady, or Chelsea.
White House.
Hello, may I speak to Chelsea, please? This is Bob Garfield from National Public Radio.
Well, she's not available.
Faced with the callous indifference of the executive branch, I did what thousands of Americans in the same situation do every day. I phoned my congressperson. This time, I managed to wade through the aides and factotums to reach Congresswoman Leslie Byrne herself. Alas, like thousands of Americans, I sensed that my elected representative possibly wasn't taking my concern entirely seriously.
Hi.
It turns out that I'm not alone. Her office gets a lot of constituent requests from Northern Virginians looking to hobnob with the president. Some people want to go jogging with him, some want to deliver baked goods, some want to babysit socks. But, of course, these pathetic presidential groupies and their transparent schemes to one-up their neighbors had nothing to do with my very real need to grace the White House with my explosive hurls to the pocket.
Given that it's part of the private quarters, it will be difficult. Now, there are people who get into the private quarters, so I'm willing to give it a try.
Great, great. Well, I appreciate it. Well, not to be accused of horse trading or anything, but if you can pull this off... I have a long memory. I also had a sneaking suspicion that a freshman member of Congress wouldn't have the clout to get what I wanted. It was time to call in some big guns.
Come on, Ralph.
Come on, Mr. Nader. We got you right here.
Why not Ralph Nader? If ever there was a Washington giant slayer, it's him. So I asked him to Duke Ziebert's, the Washington power spot, for lunch. I had the crab cakes.
Just have some side dishes, okay? Because coleslaw, sliced tomatoes with onions, potato salad.
Side dishes. Saving more than $4 versus a veggie entree. See what I mean? The guy knows every angle. He sank his teeth into the tomato and onions, and then he sank his teeth into my problem.
You work by analogy and principle. Every week, President Clinton invites... about 10 corporate executives, big business types, to lunch. That means they're using the food in the White House and utensils in the White House and the tablecloths and the chairs in the White House, and all those are taxpayer assets. The bowling alley is a taxpayer asset. Let's approach it politically. One of the biggest sports in this country is bowling. It has probably 40 million practitioners. They all vote. What has President Clinton done for bowlers?
What Ralph told me was to get pragmatic, to contact my natural political allies, the bowling leagues, to get them involved in lobbying, write-in campaigns, demonstrations, the works. He took a bite of potato salad and leaned across the table.
Without naming him, I know the PR person and the chief lobbyist for the bowling leagues. Do you want me to put you in touch with him?
I want to bowl.
I'll see what I can do.
The magic words in this town. Lunch cost me $49.12, but I considered it an investment.
May I ask you that if you do bowl with the president in the White House, that you ask him to return my call?
The easiest way to do it would be, and the quickest way to do it, we have a publication that goes out in about 2 weeks to every one of our members, about 2.7 million members.
I took Ralph's advice and phoned Darrell Dobbs, head of the American Bowling Congress.
We could certainly put something in that. Simultaneously, we could go to the proprietor groups, and as the bowlers are signing up for their fall season, to get them to sign some sort of petition, I would bet within, I would say, 30 to 45 days, we could have a bunch of signatures for you if that was the way we wanted to go.
30 to 45 days.
Yeah.
I was kind of looking to next weekend.
Yeah. It'd be very, very difficult to... contact all our people by that time.
30 days? I wanted to bowl in the White House, not make a career of trying. I needed fast action. I needed instant gratification. I needed America's number one, top-of-the-charts political strategist. To get me into the White House, I needed the guy credited for getting Bill Clinton in the White House.
Okay, this is James.
James Carville, political miracle worker, who said that to book the lane, I'd have to get the president's attention, do something that would help him sell his programs, or really do anything that might catch his eye.
You could feign some illness and say that, to let your last request is to, throw a bowling ball down a thing, like the kid used to do with Babe Ruth, You could move to Arkansas and hurry up and develop a relationship with one of his lifelong childhood friends that come to Washington from time to time. She could find some single woman that's a friend of Mrs. Clinton's and start dating. Do you have any looks or you have any kind of social abilities or something like that? Maybe you could try that.
But in fact, Carville said, had I wanted to do things the way they are really done in Washington, I was getting started about 2 years too late. To extract favors from the White House, one needs long-term relationships, which means making campaign contributions, volunteering during the primaries, in short, accumulating political capital. Unfortunately, I have no political capital. And therefore, Carville said, my prospects were...
Pretty pitiful. Unless you were an early contributor and had some relationship with people, I doubt if there's much that you would do right now. One way is you could get an undecided senator to vote for the president's budget plan. You could probably get an invitation if you got a leaning against a vote for us, you'd probably get to bowl and play tennis, too.
And so last Thursday, with the tax package and President Clinton's entire economic program, then apparently riding on Senator David Boren's swing vote, I made a call to Capitol Hill. I know the senator has this key vote in the conference committee on the tax package, and I was wondering if it was too much to ask for the senator to hold his vote hostage pending me being invited to bowl at the White House.
You know, I think the person you need to talk to is the press secretary here.
Yeah. It was frankly nauseating how uninterested, how monumentally uninterested Senator Boren's aide seemed in my proposition. And for the first time, I truly despaired of ever rolling a ball on the raw, blonde boards of the White House lanes. Every path seemed to lead to a dead end. I even tried to exploit my one meager personal connection, my friend Gwen, whose sister Marion's husband Jack Kaplan is best friends with Jack Doppelt, who was the graduate school professor of Hillary Rodham Clinton's aide, Lisa Caputo. But that didn't pan out either, and I was just about ready to give up. Then, driving dejectedly to work, I heard an interesting news report.
The task of finding Senate votes was made more difficult yesterday when Oklahoma Democrat David Boren announced that he would vote no.
I thought, that was very nice of him. And sure enough, the next thing I knew... Yep, me, my wife, my kids, bowling in the White House. Look, I'm not claiming Senator Boren actually did my bidding. I'm not claiming I extorted recreation favors from the president. All I know is me and my family were escorted through the Rose Garden into the executive mansion, where, down a corridor from the kitchen, awaited our Holy Grail. It's a single lane, AMF circa late 60s, trimmed by the ugliest brown and blue carpeting you have ever seen. There's no bank of vending machines, no pro shop, but there is a nice selection of shoes. I wore a set of 10s, which may at one time actually have shod a president of the United States. Or maybe B.B. Rebozo. The Clintons, I'm told, haven't exactly haunted the place. The only evidence they've ever set foot in the room is their bicycles, which are stored inconsiderately, I don't mind saying, along the edge of the alley. On the other hand, there was no waiting. The president, thankfully, didn't bother us, and we didn't run into any league play. Furthermore, Ann Stock, the social secretary of the President of the United States, gave my daughters Katie and Allison a bowling lesson. In heels, no less.
Take your hand and release it so that your hand goes like that to the center pin.
Oh, never mind.
Katie, this is going to go on yours.
Now that is putting people first. And it just goes to show, in this great nation of ours, no matter who you are, no matter how humble your beginnings, no matter how politically unconnected you may be, just as our parents and teachers always told us, you can wind up in the White House. All you gotta do is ask. On tape, for the record, on a national broadcast network. I'm Bob Garfield.
I just want to thank you very, very much for opening up the White House to me and my family. We had a wonderful time. I just want to thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Now, about that state dinner.
It's All Things Considered.